All right. It's, wow, it's June 6th already. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. But today, we are just as much sons of God as we were yesterday. And as we were since that first moment that we believed in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That moment that we confess Jesus Christ Lord and we believe that God rose and raised Him from the dead, we are made His children. And that's who we are. That's who we will always be. If we look at 1 John chapter 3, this we were listening the other day in the car on the way to work, Anthony and I, 1 John. And it's a tremendous epistle. It's one of those, you know, it's called a general epistle. It's written to anyone and who's born again, and it speaks of some pretty deep things, really, about your fellowship, and it cuts right to the quick of it all. It says, you know, if you're sons of God and you walk in darkness, you're out of your mind, basically. So quit doing that, and be the sons of God, the daughters of God that God has made you. And your life will be blessed. You know, First John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." You know, look at the love that God has for you. Look at that. That He would call you, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. And we're just not called the sons of God. The text actually inserts the phrase, "and we are so." As a matter of fact, the Amplified Version includes it. You know, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Look at how much He loves you, that He would call you His son, His daughter. Because you are. Because you are a son, a daughter of God. You have been born again of His Spirit. You started out with a flesh mom and dad. That's how we all started, right? We can't change who our dad is or who our mother is. We cannot change that physically. No more so than we can change spiritually now who we are. We now are sons of God. We're sons of God. And therefore the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Him? Who? God and His Son. Didn't know them. Not going to know them. That's why they're not going to know you. But those who are born again of God's Spirit will know who you are. They'll know you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to earn this privilege of being sons of God. We are sons of God now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be, and when it puts it in the when it uses those terms in the Old King James, it's an absolute. It's reflecting the absolute of the Greek language. We shall be like Him. No questions, no ifs, no conditions. If we are now the sons of God, then when He returns, we shall be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. As He is right now, in that day in the future, we shall see Him. We shall, with our eyes, we will behold. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Because this is really who we are. We're not just people anymore. We are sons of God. And as sons of God, we have certain privileges. We have certain blessings that God, our Heavenly Father, is wanting to do for us. You know, it says in chapter 2 that we're sons of God. It encourages us in chapter 2, you know, not to walk outside of God's commandments. He says, you know, keep His commandments in verse 4. Verse 5, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in Him." We're in Him. we walk in Him. We conduct our lives. You know, every time you see the word walk or being in God or in Christ, it's about your conduct. It's about how you're behaving. Are you behaving like a son of God today? Am I? I hope so. So not all the time, because we're not perfect. But this is what we should endeavor to do. You know, conduct our lives as who we really are. Who do you really think you are? Who do you think you are? Well, as a matter of fact, I think I'm a son of the Most High God. How's that? Is that what you think? Because that's who you are. And that's not a haughty thing. That is an arrival at such peace in your life and such confidence in your life that the world can't give you. We are sons of God. He doesn't just call you, "Hey, sonny. Hey, sweetheart, come here." No, we are His sweethearts. We are His sons. We are so. When we keep that in our thinking as far as who we are, what does life hold for us now? What did life hold for Jesus Christ? It says in verse 6 of chapter 2, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." Well, you're a son of God, right? You're a daughter of God. Well, then, walk like one. Well, I don't know how to walk like one. Why don't you turn to the Son then and see what it's all about? Jesus Christ proclaimed the Father, and He also proclaimed what it means to be the Father's Son. You want to know what it means to conduct yourself as sons and daughters of God? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Him. You know, some people consider the Gospels only to be the thing that you hand to unbelievers. Here's a Gospel of John. Now go home and read it. Because it was written, a lot of things that weren't written, but those things were written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, we look at the Gospels and we see a man walking with His Heavenly Father. What was His life like? Did He have any fear? One day He did. "Ah, this one's a little big for me, God. I don't know if I want to go through with this crucifixion thing. I've seen it. It don't look pretty." He was afraid. But he sought His Heavenly Father. And His Heavenly Father said, "Don't worry about it, son. I'll be right there with you. And in 3 days and three nights, you know, when you fall asleep, don't worry about it. Your last breath, don't worry about it. 3 days, three nights. I got the watch going. I'll get you up." Could He depend upon His Father? Yes. Can you depend upon your Father? Yes. Are sometimes some things a little scary? Sure. What do you do when you're a little scared? You go to the Father. You know, not too many things spooked Him. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing that's recorded that He was a little apprehensive of. The rest of life He just took on. Even crowds of people that wanted to kill Him. "Are they going to kill me?" "No, it's not time yet." "Okay, don't worry about it then. Just walk right through them. Move." See, if you really and truly believe that you are what this Word says you are, then you can walk as He walked. You're fully equipped to walk as He walked. Is there anything that God won't do for you? You're His child. Well, we look at Jesus Christ, He's a great example. See, really, that is one of the great purposes of the Gospel. Is to show us, once we come to that point and we read the record of His crucifixion, His giving of His life, we confess Him as Lord, we believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, now we go back to it and we can say, "Oh, so that's what it is to be a son of God. To have no fear. To have all authority over everything in life. I mean, this is a place that God desires for each of us to live. We can walk even as He walked. It says in Peter, look at Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, not everything goes the way we want it to go sometimes, but we can be, as Greg said, very patient, trusting that God will work things out. Because not every day is going to bring on, strawberry shortcake and lots of whipped cream. And it's all fat-free. Sometimes, it doesn't bring on the good stuff. Well, it talks about it here in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "For even," verse 21, "for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." He had to do the hard stuff. He had to do the hard stuff. And He left us an example. How did He walk? How did he get through those hard times? He looked to God. He looked to God, His Heavenly Father, and He trusted God to bring Him through according to God's promises. And then it says that you should follow in His steps. We walk the same road that He walked. We walk as sons of God. We walk in His steps. We can. That's what God's called us to. You know, when there's challenges, we do it God's way. We look to God. We let God handle things. We do what we need to do, trusting God. If we don't have enough food, we take what we got and we multiply it. We just continue to trust God for signs, miracles, and wonders, because that's what He's called us to. We are sons of God. God will perform those signs, miracles, and wonders, even the little ones. And if we'll do the little silly ones, like making sure the gas doesn't run out, He can do the big ones. He does those little ones so that we know how much He really cares. You know, some people that get religious about life say, "Oh, no. I don't want to ask Him about these little things. I mean, He's got bigger things in mind. You know, He's got more important things to deal with than my little request of this or that." Well, no, He doesn't. You're His son. You're His daughter. He loves you. Whenever my kids came to me for anything that they needed, I said, I didn't look at them and say, "I don't have time for that," when they were kids. Right? We don't do that to our children. I mean, you know, everything's important when they're little. And we're just little kids sometimes. Before our great and awesome God, sometimes we're just little kids. And we cry like little babies in His lap, don't we, sometimes? Yeah, we do. And these are important things to God, though, no matter what it is. From the little things to the great things, the big, what appear to be big for us. Nothing's too big for God. God cares. And as long as we're being honest with Him, as long as we're endeavoring to walk even as He walked. Jesus Christ didn't walk, one way during the day and another way at night when nobody could see Him. Did He? No. He walked in His Father's light all the time. He lived His life to bring glory to His Heavenly Father. That can be in our heart too. What does that mean? It means what it means to you. You in your own heart and life know what God has called you to do. And you are the one that needs to answer His call, not anybody else's call. When a man calls you on the phone and says, "I think you ought to be doing this or that," well, that's one thing. You can choose yay or nay. But when God calls you, you should answer. And you should say, "Yes, Lord, what would You like me to do for You?" And it's different for all of us. We've been placed as members of the body of Christ in particular. Members in particular. We each have a certain thing that we desire to do and love to do. Who are we? But we are most of all sons of God. That's first and foremost. We're sons of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You know, we should endeavor to walk even as He walked. You know, we walk in the light as He is light. That's what 1 John says. Okay? We walk in the light. In the light of His Word. That's a figure of speech. You know, His Word is like a lamp unto my feet. It's light to my path. His Word is. What God says is right. And so I endeavor to walk by it. Simple. That's it. So simple. You know, and again, in 1 John, He says, these are My commandments, right? That you, what? Love Me and believe on the name of Jesus Christ, His Son. Those are His commandments. You believe on that name? You believe what that name represents for you? Yeah. Good. Walk in the light. Isn't that fun? Ephesians chapter 4 or 5? Ephesians 5, I think it is. This speaks of our walk, how we conduct ourselves, right? In chapter 1 of verse 5, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of Him. Imitators is the Greek word, right? Just like most kids imitate their parents, right? Mom listens to the CDs when she's ironing, so I guess I will too. Hey, this is not bad. This kind of works. You know, we imitate our parents. Hopefully we imitate the good things. Of course, God only has the good things. He only has the good things to imitate. Because God is light and Him is no darkness at all. So we're to imitate Him as dear children. As dear children. Beloved children of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And He's going to take care of you as His child. Don't worry about anything. And walk in love, verse 2 says. Right? Walk in love. Walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's what walking in love is. It's giving yourself. Giving of yourself to bless somebody else. It's getting out of your own head. Realizing that I don't have to be concerned about myself because I have God Almighty as a Father. So now I can begin to turn my thoughts and my efforts towards someone else. That's walking in love. It's not just being gushy and learning, you know, how to love. You know, I love that song that Vanessa sings because it's all about, you know, God, You teach me how to love. Show me how to love. I think it's a wonderful song because, really, who else but God can teach you how to love? You're His kid. He's going to do that. Yeah, we can look through the Scripture and look at verses and see what love is and how it's manifest, but nobody can really show you how to really apply it until you look to God and let Him teach you. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. You know, this is, we want to walk as He walked. We want to conduct ourselves as He conducted Himself. Because now we're sons of God. This is a great challenge, and yet it's a great way to live. Some people look at it as a challenge. God just says, this is life now. You know, was it too much of a challenge this morning to wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and say, good morning? Whoever you are, you know, good morning, Don. Boy, do you look like a son of God who just woke up. No, it wasn't a big challenge. It's just, this is the way life is. This is your life now. You're a son of God. What does that mean for your life today? That means good things. That means great things. Anticipate great things. Expect great things. You have a great Father. And then it says, you know, avoid the stuff that doesn't look like it's coming from one of heaven's holiest. You know, verse 3, but fornication, all uncleanness, covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. You know, this is not the stuff that's fit you know, for a saint to be doing. And you are. You're heaven's holiest. You're a saint. For this you know, that you have no inheritance. Nobody who does those things has an inheritance. There are no rewards for those things. And then it says in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Now you are the light in the Lord. So, what? Walk as children. Conduct yourself as a child of light. Conduct yourself that way. It doesn't mean you have to wear a robe or, you know, find a costume shop and get one of those little halo things that you could put on your head. It just means what you do. How do you think of yourself today? Are you walking thinking, I'm a son of God? I'm a daughter of God. God Almighty, the one who created the heavens and the earth, looks at me and says, you're more important to me than anything. You and your heart, your desire. I have time for you. You make time for me. That's all. And as we do that, there's great fruit in our life. It says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, the fruit of that Spirit that you have within you, making you a son or daughter of God, now bears fruit. As you walk, as you conduct yourself as who you really are. I'm not this five senses man anymore, struggling to do it all myself. I am a son of God. And as we walk that way, there's great fruit. Proving, verse 10 says, what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable. As we conduct our lives that way, there's an evidence of it. There's fruit there. Our lives are blessed. Our lives have to be blessed. If God chose not to bless our lives, He would have stopped when Jesus Christ prayed in the garden, I don't really want to do this. He would have said, okay, all right, that's all right. At least I have you. No, He said, no, they're important to me also. You know, each one of us is important to God. Each one of us. And as we conduct ourselves that way, knowing who we really are, who God has made us, we haven't earned that privilege. God has made us that. So, as we walk in it, there's great fruit. We can expect great things to happen. We can expect God to take care of the things that are just too big for us. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to get a job? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do all that I have to do? God will help. God's made exceeding great and precious promises to you. And He wants you to believe that. Conduct yourself in that light. Remember who God's made you. Don't ever forget it. That's what walking in the light is. That's what walking as He walked. As He walked. Not as, you know, it doesn't direct us to walk like Paul walked. It doesn't direct us to walk like Peter walked. Although those guys were weird. They were some powerful guys. They were great men. Paul at one time said, yeah, imitate me. Because all I do is imitate him. But first and foremost, we're to walk even as He walked. We're to follow in His steps. The Lord Jesus Christ. This is a big deal. And if we limit it in our lives, well, you know, I mean, God says, gee, that's too bad. You know, I've put, you know, $18 billion in your bank account and all you want to do is go get, you know, all you think you got in there is $5. What's the matter with you? I've made you my son by the new birth, and you think you're a red-headed stepchild. What's the matter with you? You're not. That's an old saying, you know, the red-headed stepchild. You young people don't know this. I don't know where it came from, but yeah. But see, it's like it's like, you know, the redheaded stepchild is not as important to the family as the real deal. But in God's eyes, none of us are redheaded stepchildren. We're all His kids. You can't do anything to get any more from God. He's given it all to you. He's made you His child. You know, let's expect Him to do what He has promised He'll do. Let's expect Him to act toward us like He says He has made us. Expect that. Don't expect anything less. You know, conduct yourself as who you really are in Christ. Sons, daughters of the Most High God. Don't be surprised when things work out. Expect them to. Expect them to. All right. That's a little bit of what I had on my mind for you this morning. So, Father, we're thankful for the way You have made us Your sons and daughters. Thank You, Father, for the way You have continued to back up those things as we look to You. And, Father, that there's never a day that You ignore us, that You're always there for us as we endeavor to walk in the light of who You've made us. Thank You, Father, for the great power and strength that You've given to us. Thank You, Father, for the Spirit that You have placed within each of us that is such a great resource for each of us, the ultimate of all of life's resources, that Spirit of Christ within us. Thank You, Father, that it's there for us each and every moment because it resides within us. Thank You, Father, for the way You continue to open great doors for us as we endeavor to walk for You and walk in His steps. In the name of Jesus Christ.